Okay, the title of this workshop is the Sunday Sermon Personalization Class, and we want to explain to you in brief detail how this can be used in your ministry. Now, the Sunday Sermon Personalization Class is not really part of the personal studies curriculum, although it can easily be used in that educational program, and so we've decided to use this at this time to explain how it can be integrated into that. One of the reasons why we have added this course to the curriculum is that since I've begun working at Teen Challenge, I've heard different graduates come back and say, boy, you should see my church. These churches out here, they're all dead. Nobody claps their hand, nobody does anything. Boy, I sure wish there was a church where I could get some spiritual food. And I used to nod my head and say, yeah, isn't that terrible, isn't that terrible? And finally, after a few years of that, I finally said to myself, now, wait a minute. This person has been in Teen Challenge for at least a year. This person has been to church every Sunday, probably twice on Sunday. They've had chapel services throughout the week at Teen Challenge. And they still don't know how to get spiritual food from a sermon. I said, it's not the church's problem. It's that student's problem. It's our problem. We need to teach them how to get spiritual food from a sermon, whether it is a loud and fantastic sermon or whether it's a dull and boring, quiet sermon. Now, we have the ability to learn how to get good spiritual food from either kind of sermon. And so that's really the motivation behind developing this class. And Greg Fisher is going to come and give the initial presentation explaining how this class can be used in your ministry. And incidentally, there's many different ways this can be adapted, but we're going to give you just this initial presentation, and then in the discussion we'll give some additional variations of how it can be used. So, Greg?
Okay. Now that Dave took the first 10 minutes of my talk, all the things that I was going to say. I need to write some new notes here, I think. this thing is not adjusted properly. That's nice. Okay, now maybe we can get started here. Sunday Sermon Personalization Class. For those of you that are watching this tape as part of the certification course, if you could get the materials, the student manual for this class and also the teacher's manual, that would be very helpful. I'd like to take a look at the teacher's manual first of all. As Dave mentioned, the reason that this class was begun was to teach students how to derive spiritual food from sermons. For the most part, when a student graduates from Teen Challenge, the only place they really receive spiritual food is in their Sunday morning church service, or if they're a part of a Bible study group or something like that. But for the most part, it's the Sunday morning sermon. And if they have not learned the techniques and also the I can't find the word I'm looking for, but the ways or to derive or to listen to a Sunday sermon, what will happen is they'll walk away from church like most people do, and you ask them, well, what was the sermon about? A half hour later, they don't remember. And they certainly do not grow spiritually from hearing that message. So this class has a number of different things that we can do to help students. First of all, it teaches students how to take notes on a sermon. There's taking notes, and there's a form, and there is one of these forms in the teacher's manual, sermon note sheet, and it has a place for an outline of the sermon. It has a place for things I like or ideas that help me. My questions, and this includes things that I disagree with, the speaker on, things I want to study more, and personal application ideas. The note sheet is very helpful to the students, especially when they're starting out to take notes. They have something that they can look for when they are listening to the sermon instead of just trying to write down. I find a lot of students, when they first are told that they have to take notes, they think they need to write down everything the pastor says, and they're writing frantically, and then finally they give up in frustration, and they don't write anything down. And they don't remember anything because all they remember is the frustration that they had in trying to write down everything. So if we can give them some ideas in this class and what to look for, to look for the title of the sermon, the main points, and many times the pastor will stress his main points. We can also look to the scripture references. And I find we have to teach students how to write down scripture references. They'll be sitting there trying to figure out how to spell Jeremiah. And then they write down, and they don't hear the reference then. And teaching them how to even do things, simple things like that, just abbreviations. The class then, that's part of it, just teaching them how to take notes. But what we'd like to do, and the way this class is set up, is in actually in two class sessions. First of all, when you start the class, you need to go over the note sheet with the students and give them an idea of what we're planning to do with this class. And so they know what we're looking at. I would say it takes a couple of weeks to really get the class started, or when a new student comes in, it'll take him a couple of weeks to really get an idea of what's happening. Then what you do is they take the notes on the sermon that they hear, usually Sunday morning or Sunday night. We require our students to take notes on both sermons. Then what we do in our center, and what is recommended here, is that you have a class first thing Monday morning where you discuss this sermon. And in that discussion of the sermon, you have each of the students share on what, and I like to stress that they share on what they felt the Lord was telling them in the sermon. Different things that they felt the Holy Spirit was dealing with them on. We do have each student share what they felt the sermon was saying, and what sermon they're, first of all, we have them report what sermon they heard. You know, if it was their Sunday morning sermon at such and such a church, pastor so and so, he was speaking on this subject, and they will then give a brief outline of what the sermon was. And it's amazing the differences in what the students hear. You know, you're surprised that it's the same sermon that they heard. But I think it's great, too, that the Lord is speaking to them in many different ways, and the sermon can be applied to their lives in different ways. But we have them share that, and then share what they feel the Lord's been dealing with them on, and then we have them share on how they want to apply that to their lives and what particular goal they might have. That first session also should be a time of discussion. If they have difficulty in setting a goal, or they're not sure how this can apply to their life, or we bring in the other students can have comments on that. And I like to have the other students give ideas as to how they can apply that sermon to their life. Different things we need to watch out for with that first session is that it doesn't become a time of frying the preacher. You know, that can happen, where you start saying, well, I don't like the way Pastor so-and-so, you know, shared this yesterday. I don't really care for his message, or I don't agree with this. You know, it's okay that they disagree with a particular point, but what we're basically looking at is that they learn how to apply what the Lord is saying in this message. And sometimes it's hard to find something to apply. But we want to help them develop these skills in finding out what is said and what the Lord is saying to them. Another thing I like to stress with our students is that it becomes a time of not just another class that they're doing. Well, we incorporate the Sunday Sermon Personalization class in our chapel service. Instead of having a sermon on Monday morning, we'll have a worship time and maybe a prayer time, and then we'll sit down and discuss the sermon from the day before and what the Lord was sharing with them. And we like to keep it as a time of not so much as a structured class, but more of a time of what is the Lord dealing with you on in your life. And that can be very, you know, that's the focus we need to keep in that class. If it's another academic exercise, well, they resent that. And I know that we have to continue to stress that in our center, that it's a time that we want to talk about what the Lord is dealing with you on in your life, not just another assignment that you have to do and you have to make something up before you come to chapel so you have something so you don't get in trouble. And some of them begin to look at it that way very quickly, and we have to continue to stress that. The end of that class session then, where we talk about the goals that they want to set and their short-term goals. Again, like the personal application goals that we have in the other areas of the personal studies. But then we have another class session. This class consists of two sessions, which we hold in our center on Wednesday morning. Again, the same type of format. We use our chapel service again for that. But it's basically a time of telling what happened in the while you're trying to complete your goal. And if you're looking at the teacher's manual to this, on page 11 is the personal goal sheet. And we like to use this personal goal sheet, give this to each of the students so that they can put their goal down on the sheet and then use this as a format in evaluating their goal and reporting this to the rest of the students in the discussion. I, again, like to stress with this class that it is more of a testimony time and what happened when you tried to put this goal into practice. Not so much, again, an academic exercise where we're just saying, well, this is what happened or this didn't work, but as a testimony time. And that's for the second class session. One of the things that I find very difficult with this class is the idea of, again, personal application goals. The students have a very difficult time forming goals, and so I use this class session many times as again, going over why we're setting goals, going over the whole goal or the focus of this class, and many times, I would say once a month, maybe once every, I'd say at least once a month, I share what Dave shared at the beginning and the reason that we have this class. And so that they can have that goal in mind, that the reason we have this class is to help me as a student apply what God is, you know, what the pastor has been praying about all week and apply what God is sharing to the people on Sunday morning to my life. And when they see the class from that viewpoint, they will put much more interest into it and more effort into it. I share that with the students, like I said, at least once a month. And then I go over on what we're doing with the personal application goals. I'll give you an example. We had one student who heard a sermon. This was at a missions convention. And the sermon was on preaching the gospel to the whole world. And his goal on Monday morning was, I'm going to preach the gospel to the whole world. And, you know, obviously, that can't be done before Wednesday morning. It's quite difficult. But I found that it was a very good goal. I mean, that's what the whole sermon is about. So he had the right idea. He did hear from the Lord in that. But we use this as an opportunity to open up for discussion. And what is a way that this student can apply this goal or reach this goal in the next couple of days? And what came about is, and the goal we finally narrowed it down to, it was obvious that the student could not go out and preach the gospel to somebody. But what opportunities did he have within the center? Well, one of the students brought up the fact that we had a new student coming in the next day. And someone else brought up the fact, well, he could share what the Lord's done in his life with the new student. And that was something that was very practical and something that he could do. And so it lends itself to this type of discussion. It doesn't always go this easily, but that finally became his goal, that he was going to share with the new students coming in. We had two new students, what the Lord has done in his life, and in a sense that would be sharing the gospel with that part of his world. And on Wednesday he could report that, and he had very favorable results. To check up on his goal, we could just ask the new students, did he share with you? Yes, he did. And it went very well. Another thing that I like to do to help the students to set goals in this class is whatever area that they feel the Lord is speaking to them on, that they I like to use an illustration of a weed in a flower. And if it's, let's say, bad attitudes, well, they can consider bad attitudes as their weed, and they want to have as their goal a good attitude. And then we can narrow that down. Well, what particular bad attitude? And they can narrow it down. Well, I have a bad attitude about my roommate throwing his dirty clothes on my bed. Okay. Well, and then we can say, well, what is the good attitude that you want to work toward? And so they can say, well, I want to have a good attitude and also work out something with my roommate. Well, then what we do is I'll question them in the area, well, what can you do between now and Wednesday to reach this goal? Because many times when they hear the word goals, they just automatically, the fear mechanism comes in and they say, no, there's no way I can't do another goal. And they look at it as a mountain, you know, another goal I have to do. But if we narrow it down to something simple like that, and many times that's what I do. I'll have the students actually draw a picture of a weed and draw a picture of a flower on their goal sheet. And they label that, and I have them actually express their goal that they're working on in the Monday morning session as this is the weed that I'm working on, I feel that the Lord has me dealing with, and this is the flower. And this is what I'm going to do to pull this weed and plant this flower in the next couple of days. And this you can use this illustration in a lot of the different goals that you work with. But I find that really makes it much easier for me and cuts down on the frustration level in trying to help 14 students set personal application goals in 20 minutes. And basically that's what happens. So you have about 20 minutes to a half hour for this discussion. And I find I save myself a lot of frustration in explaining the goals of this class, like I said, at least once a month, and just keeping that in the minds of each of the students, that that's what we're trying to accomplish. As far as the student manual is concerned, we do give the student manuals to each of the students and have them read through this so they have an understanding of what happens. Many times they do not understand what the student manual is talking about, so it's important that I go over this with them. And in the class session, there is a copy of the sermon note sheet and the personal goal sheet in the student manual as well. These sheets are available in packs of 50 from the curriculum office. And we try to use them quite often. We don't use them all the time, but I find that in using them, it gives the students an idea on how to set goals and what to look for in taking sermon notes and setting goals. And so even if we don't use the sheets every week, they have these ideas in their minds, and they take really some pretty good goals. I don't limit our students to just the Sunday morning sermon or just the Sunday evening sermon. If there was a sermon that they heard on Friday evening from one of the staff members or maybe a teaching that they attended, I allow them to use that as their goal. And I think in here they specify maybe just using one sermon, but since all the students heard the sermons, it's not something foreign that they're bringing in to the class. I think there's one other thing I wanted to mention, and I can't remember what that is. Well, we'll turn it over to the panel right now for further discussion.
Couple things. There's two things. One of them is the students have said to me that when they're taking notes during the sermon, that it tends to hinder their worship. And I just want to know, you know, what you all found and, you know, what you think about that. Like they, you know, they don't feel free. They're sitting there, you know, taking notes on everything.
I think that the way I look at it is that might be true for a few students. For the most part, a student will sit there and daydream if they're not taking notes or having to be occupied in some way of listening to the sermon, actively listening to the sermon. Mm-hmm. It's much easier for them to start daydreaming about something else or looking at the girls in church. And I know they do that. I had a guy on Sunday who just kept turning around all during the service. And
We had to deal with him afterwards, but we should have dealt with him in the service, I think. But the thing of it is that I think it can do that, but they'll need to learn how to use this to their benefit and to grow spiritually. Maybe at first it is a distraction. I mean, here I have to take notes when I would like to just listen to it. The thing that I've found is that a lot of our older students, and it's amazing to see their skills develop as this class goes on, that they really have some excellent goals each week. And it's things that they are dealing with in their life. It's not just something that they're making up or from the sermon, but it's amazing to see how they can take what that sermon, you know, what the sermon said, and apply it to problems that they have in their life. And it doesn't happen right away. I know we'll go through the frustration of a student not really setting any, not having very good goals for quite some time. But just in the period of that discussion taking place each week, they see how other students are setting goals, and they really start developing some very good skills. And I can say that nearly every student that we have that's with us 4 to 5 months has really developed some very good skills in that area, mm-hmm. and has learned to use it to their benefit. And I know that even up here at the farm, a lot of them have notebooks where they are writing, taking sermon notes on nearly every sermon they hear.
Mm-hmm. We use the sermon sheets, and we just, during the worship and praise part of the service, we don't ever take notes. We wait till the speaker begins to speak. This way it doesn't interfere with the worship and praise, and they can, you know, get the full content of what the speaker is saying, and then they can use it. So we don't allow them to take it in the first part, because worship and praise is very important. You know, and some of them will use it as a game where I can't worship and praise and take notes. Fine. Don't take it during worship and praise. Take it when the speaker is speaking. And another thing that we found out, that we also use the sermon sheets with tapes. We give someone a tape, and we let them use a sermon sheet. This way that we know that they're getting the full benefit of that tape, you know, because it has to be, it'll be on the sermon sheet. Because, you know, sometimes they'll be playing around and listen to a tape, or they'll change the tape and put something else in there, and they won't go, oh, yeah, it was great, it was good. And come to find out, they never even listened to the tape. You know? So with that sermon sheet, you know exactly that they have listened to that tape mm-hmm. and what they have gotten out of that tape. Mm-hmm. Now, we find the sermon sheets really to be outrageous. We had a problem with the teenagers not listening during service. They're, like he said, their minds on other things, right? So we sat them up front, and we gave them the sermon sheets, right? And from that, we did it only a short while at first, right? And from that, we find out now that when they do come into a service, just by doing that, they're starting to listen on their own, you know? And so from listening, you know, from being able to look for certain things now, like the sermon sheet has, you know, each thing specified where you look, they're starting to develop that in their mind. So as they're listening, you know, they can picture the sermon sheet in their mind. And they can begin to use that as they go into service.
The way that we keep them from taking notes is we don't even hand the notes out until the sermon. We have a break in our church, is the offering. And we keep them under a chair. How many of it? There's about 25 of them with a can of pencils. And we hand it out at that time. Because they make airplanes and everything like that. you learn those things. Yeah, they do. I mean, adults do it too. Some of them are older, our kids. But the other thing that we did that was excellent is, we did it immediately after service because it's difficult, it's not a program. We had them come into the team room, and it was amazing what they got. Myself, I did it with them, and I had not been trained how to get spiritual food. And after I did the class, and I sat with the kids, and I took all the notes and things, and then made my own application goals. I think the important thing also is to work out the goal sheet afterwards, because they forget. Even if they've gotten all that spiritual food, they don't digest it until they apply it to their life and how it can be used in their daily life. And then that following Friday, we talked about how what had happened, and they really went home and did the things. It was on dying to self. Oh, another thing is that I know with the men in the program, especially if they're only there a few weeks, you know, you get a preacher that comes up and starts talking about being washed in the blood. And, you know, different phrases that are normally used. We understand that these kids wrote down things. We thought they knew being washed in the blood, being crucified to the cross. they really didn't really know really what that meant. We had time to share with them, you know, and you find out little things that they don't understand. We know what washing in blood is. Some of them, you know, they picture, you know, getting washed in the blood. It's not.
Yep. And I like to say that the sermon sheet was a big help to me because I would sit, you know, and just be daydreaming sometimes, right? But then when I went home, I was just sitting and listening to sermons, and she would, my wife would leave out and say, wow, no, that was so-and-so. And I think the sermon was great. I thought it was great, you know, because I have learned to draw the meat out of the sermon. And then when she started doing it, then she started doing the same thing. So it is. And it can, if you utilize it, it will be a blessing to you.
That's great. One of the things that I would like to recommend that you do is if you're not using this in your present ministry, I would encourage you personally to do it on your own. Just take that note sheet, go to church, and as you're in church, just do it on, even if the class can't be scheduled in immediately. If you can begin to see how much it's benefiting your life, I think it'll be catching, and it'll provide you with some practical examples to be able to share. Look, this is how it is helping me in my own life. I'm sure this can help our students, and you can convince whoever has the power to change the schedule that this is something you need to add to our program. And even if you never have the group classes, even if all you do is just have the students take notes on the sermon in the service, that to me is a step in the right direction. It's better than nothing.
I was going to say, we don't utilize the class fully at our center, but we do require the guys to take notes at the sermon. And it is tough for some because they're not maybe academically inclined, and it takes a little time to encourage them and teach them how to take notes or just to get a few points. If they're not very academically inclined, maybe they're really slow. I'll just tell them, well, just try to catch something that ministers to you. But I want you to have your pen in hand, a notebook ready, and to be taking down something. And it does definitely cut down on some of the services we go to are not particularly the most enjoyable at one of the churches we go to, but it keeps them, otherwise they just fall asleep.
Yes.
I mean, they will. But I've seen guys who have taken notes and then come back and we say, wow, I did get something out of that, you know. And I've taken notes and sermons just as a discipline since I've been a Christian, and I show the guys notebooks. I have notebooks I can, you know, which encourages them. I said, look, I can take you back 4 or 5 years ago and pull things out that have ministered to me. And they sit there and say, wow, you know. I say, you know, it's just not junk that I throw away or anything like that. It's come back to help me and encourage me.
Yeah.
And I said, when you do that, you can get to a point where I said, I don't even have to take notes. I do it now just as a discipline, but my mind catches things, and I can take them back. You know, I'll do it sometimes. I'll say, remember that last service 3 weeks ago? And they say, what are you preaching? I'll name the subject the guy preached on, and I'll tell him the outline without even looking at notes. And it's not because I've got a great memory. It's just your mind gets in that discipline, and it's easy to retain things.
Paul, I'd like to have you just briefly tell us how you use that at your center.
Okay, first of all, we have a home church that we attend just about every Sunday morning. We have a gifted pastor who is very organized, and this is important because his sermons are the sermons that can be outlined with three main points and a conclusion. We go to some of the other services for maybe on the line of a Bible study where there is no main points, that are just a series of events leading up to a conclusion, make it quite a little bit more difficult to outline, especially for students. This is one of the pluses that we have. I hope everybody else has a plus, something like that. With these, or since I know the pastor, I know the way that he preaches, I can clue the fellows ahead of time that wait until you hear a Bible reference given, because when he gives a Bible reference, he's going to get a main point. And it makes it easier to break them in this way. And then when we go to a different church, they're already have their thinking organized enough so that they can use the sermon personalization sheets. We wait until approximately the second contract before we give them the sermon personalization sheets, because I want the fellows to develop a pattern or a skill of setting goals. and this is probably the most important thing, I think anyway, in the sermon personalization, is while you have all this academic knowledge down that the pastor has given to you in the sermon, all the preparation that he's made, but until it comes to work in your life, it's just words in the air, just sounds in the air. Once they can set a goal, I give them three steps, not five steps, I give them three steps. It has to be something they can do, something they can measure, and something that has a time frame so they can stop and do an evaluation. So once they have this under their belt, then sermon personalization comes in, and then they can apply what they've heard to their lives, and then you see growth.
That's good. I think we've already mentioned, but even just to have one person listen to the tape and then use this as a discipline for you being holding that student accountable for what they've done as they've listened to that tape can be another way to use the same process. It doesn't have to be a Sunday sermon. We simply chose that name because that was the main purpose for doing it. Rich?
I don't know how control-orientated people are, but in our center, the guys go to different churches every Sunday. They go to one church for a period of so many months. There's different church in the morning, then the afternoon, and the evening. And some churches, you can't always control who they hear. They might hear Kenneth Copeland 1 week and Billy Graham the next. They can't really control if you're giving service. If they're the pastor, the sermon note sheets, you can at least get a feel for what they're picking up. And if they're picking up information that is detrimental to them in terms of their growth, you can deal with it then. Otherwise, you're really kind of just exposing them to God only knows what. And you're exercising a great deal of faith. So I think God would have us to be more accountable with the use of these sheets to their specific growth. That's why they're there.
Sure.
I'm not sure if I read this correctly, but the question, in a four-month induction center, do you begin giving these out early, or did I read that in the later months to begin to work that into their schedule?
I think it all depends on the center. My guess is that you use it for everybody from day one.
That's right. Yeah. Now, many times a new guy will not have any goals at all. Uh-huh. We just say, we'll just sit in and listen to the discussion. And when you can start getting some ideas, and usually about 2 or 3 weeks into the program, I start requiring him to have some kind of idea. If he's still saying, "Well, I don't know how to set goals," and after we've talked about it a number of times, well, I know they're not even trying. But we start out right from the very beginning and give them the note sheets and wanting them to try to set goals.
How about the rest of the channel? Do you do it from day one?
We begin it the first week they come in. We use it with in a situation where a speaker comes into our center and a special guest comes in and we have them take notes on that person. Now, we're not using the personal goal sheet right now, but we have used that in the past. I think another thing, though, too, is that by implementing the sermon note sheet, you're having them go from a passive listener to an active listener.
Amen.
And I think in the future, the point that we want to bring across is that that's going to be one of their main sources of receiving spiritual food is from the sermon on Sunday, who the pastor has spent a lot of time putting that together to present to the congregation. We want them to see that as being one of their main sources of food. So it is important.
One of the things that I don't think this is in the materials right now, but I think it's a point you need to communicate to your students, is to teach them how to distinguish between three types of sermon information, actually any kind of, any person who is talking, whether it be a teacher or whatever. First, there is biblical truth. Verses quoted right from the Bible. Okay? This truth is eternally sure, does not change, will always be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then there are established facts. Which are incorporated into that message. And they are not as solid as this, but they're quite widely accepted. The sun comes up in the east. You know, we accept that. The lights are on in this room. This wall is painted yellow. This floor has carpet on. Those are facts. It's not really open to serious debate. Sometimes facts change. You know, the fact back several hundred years ago was that the Earth was the center of the universe. Well, then some heretic came up and said, no, the sun is the center of the universe. And then after that, it was, no, the sun is not the center of the universe. It's only the center of our solar system. So the facts changed. And then there is a third group of information, and that is opinions. Now, every sermon usually has all three kinds of information in it. However, rarely does the pastor say, okay, now I am moving from biblical truth to sharing opinions. As I heard one radio preacher say when I was a little boy, I was listening to him, he said, and he read some verse from one of the minor prophets, and he says, and this verse shows that man will never go to the moon. Well, that's his opinion. Obviously, we know now that his opinion is not very good. If he did that today, you'd say, this guy is... But that was his opinion. Now, if he would have said, in my opinion, that, no problem. Because then sinner or Christian could say, okay, well, that's his opinion. He's free to have his own opinion. But when you make it sound like biblical truth, then new Christians get confused.
Yeah, amen.
They get turned, they say God's confused, or they say, you Christians don't know what you're talking about, or I'm not going to trust you because the preacher said something different. And maybe it was an opinion that was expressed. And so to teach our students to develop this, this skill of distinguishing without it being labeled, it's a real challenge, and I don't know, even in my own life, that I still have many times difficulty separating what man believes is established fact from what is in fact biblical truth.
Amen.
So
Amen.
To present this as part of this class, I think, can teach them in a very important truth, because you know as well as I do that everything that's said from the pulpit is certainly not of one mind.
Yes.
And so, enough said, the point's there.
Okay, well, this will conclude then our session.